Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is our lesson for Sunday, January 17th, 2021. We continue recording lessons in the office for our Sunday evening lessons during COVID. Actually, I'm recording this on Saturday, a day early, because of the fact that I'm attending a funeral tomorrow afternoon, a funeral of a friend that I went to college with many moons ago now. So I'm trying to get all this done and caught up so I can do that. But I'm glad that you are listening. Thank you for listening. And we want to continue this evening talking about a lesson from the book of John, chapter 1. We want to focus on verse 10 this afternoon. And so please open your Bibles to John, chapter 1. And I want to begin reading just to catch the context in verse 6. We'll read 6 through 14. And then we will talk particularly, as we said, about verse 10. Verse 6, there came a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness, that he might bear witness of the light, that all may believe through him. He was not the light, but he came that he might bear witness of the light. There was the true light, even the light that lighteth every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and they that were his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, even to them that believe on his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, nor of the flesh, but of God. I want to focus our attention, as we said this evening, on verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world knew him not. We have spoken already about John's use of the word world. John sometimes uses world in the sense of the physical universe, as in here in verse 10, the world was made through him. Sometimes he uses the word to denote all of humanity, all humans generally, as in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God loved the world. He loved humanity. All of humanity is being spoken of. Not talking about God loving the trees and loving the animals and loving the flowers, but God loving his human creation. And thirdly of all, sometimes the word world is used to speak of the evil forces of this world, the sin of this world, those who are in sin, those who oppose God and Christ. An example of that usage is found here in 1 John 5:19. He says, "We know that we are of God, but the whole world lieth in the evil one." And so we know that we are of God. Christians are of God. But the whole world, the majority of the world, the sinners of the world are following, they lie in the evil one. And so I want to look at the last phrase this evening of verse 10, where he says, he was in the world, verse 10, and the world was made through him, but the world knew him not. But before we look at that phrase in particular, let's talk a little bit more about the context that we read. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, in verse 6. The same came for witness, that he might bear witness of the light, that we might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came that he might bear witness of the light. As we speak about this chapter, sometimes it's easy to get our Johns confused. Of course, John the Apostle is writing here, and he's speaking of John the Baptizer, the forerunner of Jesus. And he says, there came a man sent from God whose name was John. That's John the Baptist. He was not the Christ, and he talks more about that. As he finishes up the prologue and begins to tell the story of John and Jesus, he will talk about John talking to the people, the Pharisees and the Jews coming out to him. And John freely admits he was not the Christ, he was not the prophet, he was not the Savior. But he came to bear witness, to point the way to Jesus. In verse 29 of this first chapter, John says, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." John had been highly esteemed by the people. And so the Jews had come out to question him, who he was. Who was this guy? Who is this, as they would think, kind of crazy guy, unusual fellow, out here in the wilderness, wearing a garment of skins and eating locusts and wild honey? Who was this guy? He was unusual, no doubt about that. He was powerful. He was a no-nonsense preacher in the wilderness. In a more modern vernacular, we would say he was a hellfire and brimstone preacher. And so he attracted great crowds going out to him. And so they asked, "Are you the one? Are you the Christ?" No, he was not the Christ. By John's writing of this book many years later, he is emphasizing the greatness of John. But John had a different role. He was not the Christ. He came to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. We notice he also says here in the prologue, John was not the light, but he came to bear witness of the light. The figure of light is often used in Scripture. Light and darkness are common figures in Scripture. Verse 4, he says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men," talking about Jesus. Verse 5, the light shined in the darkness. And then, of course, verses 6 through 8 that we just read, John came to bear witness of the light. Verse 9 says, "There was the true light." Verse 9, the true light. There was the true light, even the light that lighteth every man coming into the world. And so John came to bear witness of the light, to point to the light, but he was not the true light. There was a true light that lighteth every man coming into the world. Jesus was the true light. He was in the world, verses 10 through 12. The world was made through him, but the world knew him not. He came to his own, but they that were his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, even to them that believe on his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Jesus was the true light. He was in the world. The world was made through him. And yet, the world knew him not. That's the phrase we want to focus on for a few minutes. The world knew him not. Here was the light of every man, the one that pointed to God, the one who had been in the bosom of the Father, who declares the Father to us, and yet the world knew him not. And I would suggest to you that the world still does not know him. The world still does not recognize him. The world still doesn't appreciate him. John says in verse 11, he came to his own, but his own received him not. He was rejected by the Jews. Every segment of Jewish society rejected him, except for the poor, humble individuals who were looking for truth. The Pharisees and the Sadducees rejected him. They were wed to their traditions. They were wed to the teachings of the rabbis. They wanted to retain their power, their control, their influence over the people. Does it remind you of anything today with our politicians? The Sadducees rejected him. They wanted to retain their control. The Sadducees were a smaller party than the Pharisees as far as numbers, but they had greater power. They were in control of the temple. They were in cahoots with the Romans. They wanted to retain their control and their power, their political power. They had the high priesthood. The high priests were Sadducees. The Sadducees, as well as the Pharisees, rejected Jesus. The Zealot party rejected Jesus. They wanted a overthrow of the Roman government by force. Jesus was not military enough for them. He was not military at all. The Zealots rejected Jesus. The Herodians rejected Jesus. We don't know as much about the Herodians. Modern students aren't completely clear about all that they believed in, but clearly they were aligned with the Herodian family, and the Herodian family was aligned with Rome, and so they would have been pro-Rome. They would have been pro-emperor. And they would have been opposed to anyone who claimed to be a king and would have been, in their view, a threat to the Roman emperor. In Matthew chapter 22, some of the Herodians came with the Pharisees and asked the question about paying tribute unto Caesar. And so some have speculated that if they had said no, Jesus had said no, don't pay tribute to Caesar, the Herodians would have reported back. And of course, if it is said yes, do pay tribute to Caesar, then the Pharisees would have been unhappy. And so they were in cahoots together to try to get an answer from Jesus. The Herodians rejected Jesus. The rich rejected Jesus. His teachings on wealth and sacrifice seemed silly to them. We know that the rich among the Pharisees often scoffed at him and his teaching. The rich young ruler went away sorrowful because Jesus said, go sell all that you have. The materialists of that day and the materialists of our day, they reject Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, turn your Bibles there, I want to read that. Jesus was rejected by the wise of this world. Jesus was rejected by the Jews, but he was also rejected by Gentiles. Now, when we say rejected by Jews and rejected by Gentiles, we are well aware that he had many followers, both from the Jews and the Gentiles. But we're talking about in general terms, as far as society was concerned. Jesus himself had taught, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Wide is the way that leads to destruction. Many are going to enter therein. And so in general terms, yes, among the Jews and among the Gentiles, there were a few good-hearted, faithful people, good soil, like Jesus talked about in the parable of the sower, good and honest hearts who would believe the truth about Jesus and accept him and obey him and seek to follow him in their lives. But generally speaking, the Jews rejected him. And generally speaking, the wisdom of this world has rejected him. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, we see that Paul says, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, it was God's good pleasure, through the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. For indeed Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling blocks and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And so, Paul talks about the fact that both Jews and Greeks rejected him. The Jews were seeking for signs. The Greeks were seeking for wisdom. The Jews, as the gospel of Christ was preached about a crucified Messiah, the Jews, it became a stumbling block. And to the Gentiles, it was foolishness. Believing that a God, they didn't have any concept of their gods coming to earth and dying. Their gods were victorious. Their gods were powerful. They could not conceive of a God who gave himself up to his enemies. And so to the Jews, the preaching of Jesus was a stumbling block. And to Gentiles, it was just generally foolishness. It didn't fit their concept of what a Savior would be. The world still rejects Jesus. We have to realize that. We are facing in the world rejection. Jesus faced rejection, then he faces rejection now. And as we seek to take a gospel, often we will be rejected because the world doesn't want the kind of Savior that Jesus offers. He doesn't want the kind of salvation that he has offered, the sacrifice that he demands. That doesn't fit what they want. That doesn't fit their lifestyle. Let's look at some details about this and just mention a few. Surely the world still rejects him. He was in the world. The world was made through him. But the world knew him not. The world still doesn't know him. The atheist rejects Jesus. The atheist doesn't believe in God or gods. The atheist does not believe that the existence of God can be proved. But the Bible says in Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool hath said in his heart that there is no God. I hope that doesn't offend you. If you happen to come across this website and listen to this sermon and you are not a believer in God, if you are an unbeliever, an atheist, or agnostic, I don't intend to offend anyone. But that's what the Bible says. When the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God, it means the fool has said there is no God. Now, by the fool, he doesn't mean a stupid person. There are a lot of very smart people, intellectual people, who do not believe in God. But the Bible says they're foolish. They're foolish because they fail to look at clear evidence. There is clear evidence in the universe round about us that points to the fact that God exists. Psalm 19:1, very simple statement, very powerful. The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork. It's an argument from design. When we look at the universe, when we look at the world round about, when we look at the animals and the trees, when we look at our own human body, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, the Bible says. When we just simply look at the grandeur of this creation, we can come to no other conclusion. The heavens declare the glory of God. The creation around us points to the existence of God. But also the resurrection of Jesus points to the existence of God. Jesus came saying that he was from God. Here in this passage in John chapter 1, verse 18 says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The claim for Jesus in the Bible is that Jesus was God. He was from the Father, and he had taken on human flesh. Jesus is God. And during his lifetime, Jesus pointed to his resurrection, and he said that his resurrection would prove that his claims are true. And there were many, many witnesses to the resurrection. The bottom line is, if Jesus was raised, there is a God. I'm going to say that again. The Bible teaches and says that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was God come in the flesh. He said he would prove who he is through his resurrection from the dead. If Jesus was raised, he is God. If Jesus was raised, there is a God. Proof, absolutely. Jesus was raised. Now, time doesn't allow us to go into more about that right now, but if you have questions about that, would like to study with you. If Jesus was raised, God is. Secondly, liberal theologians reject Jesus. In the late 1700s and early 1800s, there began a movement that has come to be known as liberal theology. Reason and experience and feelings were emphasized over the belief in an absolute authority of the Scriptures. Theological liberals approached the Scriptures and said, we can't be sure that the Bible is totally trustworthy. In fact, they believe that there is great evidence that it is not trustworthy. They would say that we cannot know if the stories are historically accurate. In fact, we're pretty sure they're not historically accurate. They claim that the stories of the life and the miracles of Jesus were not things that really happened, but just were oral traditions that the church trying to build him up, his followers trying to build him up, made up these stories, and they were orally transmitted, and many, many years later were written down. There's much wrong with that theory. But that's what they believe. And so the miracle stories and the resurrection do not go along with our own reason and experience today. They, as we said, emphasize reason and experience, and since we haven't experienced miracles, they just can't be. Because they're not a part of our experience, they just cannot have happened. They say Jesus was a good man. He was a prophet to his people. He was a leader of a great religious movement, no doubt. Look how many people in the world are Christians, they would say. He started something big. But he's worthy of no more honor than Moses or Muhammad or Buddha or Confucius. That he was just a man. Liberal theologians, even leaders of denominational churches. When I say liberal theologians, I'm talking about individuals in the Catholic Church and in the Lutheran Church and the Presbyterian Church. There are theological liberals who are filling the pulpits of major religious denominations who take this position. I know that's shocking to you, but it is the truth. Humanists reject Jesus. The humanist philosophy is that man is at the center of the universe. It goes along with evolution. It goes along with atheism, that there is no God. The humanist philosophy sees man as the greatest of the creation, if we want to use that word, of all things that have evolved. They believe that man is just a product of Darwinian evolution. And through that process, man became the highest form of life. And since man has a brain and reason and abilities and is smarter than the animals, man has a right and there is no God. And since there is no God, man has the right to make up his own rules. And they believe that man is so smart that given enough time and thought and focus, man can accomplish just about anything. I mean, just look at our world. Look what we have accomplished. We've gone to the moon. We've gone beyond the moon. We've created all kind of medicines. Look how much we have learned. You just give us enough time and we can do anything. And so the humanist says there is no God. And since man is at the center of his own universe, there is no higher life form or greater than that of man. Man is capable and responsible for establishing his own set of ethics. Whatever ethics and standards we decide upon, collectively as a group, or philosophically among the philosophers, whatever we decide on is the standard by which we should live. Humanists reject the teachings of Jesus. And they would, along with the liberal theologians, say, yes, this man existed, but no, this man is not Savior. They would reject him, and they would reject his teachings about morals and ethics, right and wrong. Number four, the hedonist rejects Jesus. Hedonism is the belief that pleasure and the avoidance of suffering is the highest good. In short, if it feels good, do it. If it doesn't feel good, then don't do it. Hedonists have been around for a long time. Hedonists have been around forever. From the very beginning, men have lived by their lust and by their desires. We see an example of that in the parable of Jesus in Luke chapter 12. Jesus had told the young man who was fussing with his brother over the inheritance, beware of covetousness. And then he told him a parable about a man who tore down his barns, who produced such great crops that he was going to tear down his barns and build greater barns and collect all these goods and tell his soul to take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And yet, of course, the message came to the man that this night is thy soul required of thee. And whose things are these going to be once this man is gone? Eat, drink, and be merry is the philosophy of many in the world. That's the hedonist philosophy. The word hedon comes from the Greek word for pleasure. And so a hedonist is one who believes in pleasure. Just eat, drink, and be merry. Live for all the gusto you can, as the old commercial. I know I'm dating myself, but the old beer commercial. Live for all the gusto you can. The commercials may have changed, but the philosophy hadn't. People want to live for now. People want to live life to the fullest as they define what the fullest is. They want to live for pleasure. They want to live for the weekends to come. Jesus said, beware of covetousness. Jesus warned, saying, a man's life consists more than the abundance of his possessions. Life is more than things. But the hedonist has rejected Jesus. Those who live for pleasure in this world and don't think of their soul have rejected Jesus. And lastly of all, I would just point out to you that believers have rejected Jesus. I put believers in quotes. Some believers have rejected Jesus. Now, you may be surprised to hear me say that. But the Bible teaches very clearly that some believers do not follow closely the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus warned about traditions. In Matthew chapter 15, the first 14 verses, and we're not going to read all the verses, but you can go over and read that this evening. The Pharisees and the scribes came and asked Jesus a question about why his disciples did not wash their hands before eating. Jesus asked them why they had transgressed the word of God because of their traditions. And he gave them an example of how they had neglected taking care of their elderly parents so they could give that money to God. It was a violation of God's law, but it was okay with rabbinic tradition. They had allowed their traditions to be at a higher place than God's law. And Jesus said in verses 7 through 9, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men. The Jews claimed to honor God, but by their traditions they had rejected him. That's important to remember. The Jews had claimed to honor God. The Pharisees claimed to honor God, but by their traditions, Jesus says they had rejected him and disobeyed him. Is it possible for us to claim to follow Jesus and to reject him at the same time? Well, clearly it is, just as it was in the case of the Pharisees. And I would suggest to you that people have rejected Jesus. They claim to be following Jesus, but when they reject his teachings, they're rejecting him. On many moral issues today, people have rejected Jesus. They've rejected his teachings, so they've rejected him. Many religious people and church members defend abortion, the killing of an innocent child. In denominations across this land, there are people who claim to be Christians, but who support the death of infants with abortion. There are Christians who condone divorce for any reasons, in many, many religious denominations. Most religious denominations have gotten very, very lax about divorce and remarriage. What Jesus said in Matthew 5 and in Matthew 19 has basically been ignored by people. On the topic of homosexuality, some denominations are in huge arguments today about whether or not to openly accept gay members, and many are advocating it. These are, quote, Christian denominations who have completely rejected what Jesus and the Holy Spirit says about this important moral issue. These are just a few examples of how people can reject Jesus while saying that they are accepting Jesus. They're following Jesus. Think about the topic of hell and punishments. Many churches no longer teach and preach anything about hell and punishment. It's old-fashioned. It's not pleasant. We don't want to talk about it. They say things like, how can a loving God ever send people to hell? I just can't believe that God would send people to hell. Oh, I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Bible, but I just can't believe that doctrine. When we reject what Jesus says, just like the Jews who claim to honor God, but Jesus said that they had rejected God because they held their traditions above God's word, in the same way when we hold our opinions, our traditions, our think-sos above God's Word, the Bible, then we've rejected God, we've rejected Christ. In the area of salvation, in the area of what must I do to be saved, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Many people today, Christians today, will say, "Oh, no, you don't have to be baptized. Just believe in Jesus as your personal Savior. Just accept Jesus into your heart and you will be saved. You can be baptized if you want to, but you don't have to be baptized. It's not essential. Baptism is not essential to be saved. You can be a Christian and not ever be baptized." But Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Jesus also said in John 12, verse 48, "He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one that judges him. The word that I spoke is what will judge him in the last day." What Jesus spoke will judge us in the last day. What did he speak? What did he say? He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Well, thank you for listening this evening. If we have said anything you have question about, if we have said anything that you would like to study with us further about, we would love to do that. You can get a hold of us here at the Lake Gibson Church of Christ. The telephone number here is 863-859-3749. That's the office number, and you can leave a message for me. Thank you for listening this evening. We hope you have a great week. God bless, and we'll talk to you again next week.